Yesterday, the Supreme Court upheld the biggest reform of campaign finance in decades. We heard from advocates who were celebrating and opponents who were commiserating. Now we're going to hear from a constitutional scholar who has been analyzing. Was the ruling that upheld the McCain-Feingold law one that tosses out old thinking and replaces it with something new? What does it say about this Supreme Court? Well, we're going to put those questions and others now to Jeffrey Rosen, law professor at the George Washington University, who's also legal affairs editor of The New Republic. Jeffrey Rosen, since 1976 and the court's Buckley v. Valeo decision, we've heard the equation of money and speech. Has that equation been tossed out by the court this time?
It hasn't. This decision enthusiastically reaffirmed the basic idea of Buckley, which is that money involves speech, or it aids speech. But money that goes to candidate expenditures involves far more speech, more expression, than contributions to candidates. And therefore, contributions can be regulated far more heavily than expenditures. For all of the drama of this case, in many ways, it just extended that basic framework and said that electioneering activities could be defined more broadly, but that the basic contribution expenditures distinction could be maintained. And in Justice Scalia's dramatic dissent, where he said, this is absurd, money is speech, the court has changed the ground rules, really, he was arguing for a reexamination of many of the rules of Buckley and for giving money far more speech protection than had been given in the past.
The majority decision here isn't just a statement of a lot of theories about the relationship between money and speech. It's full of numbers of how much money was spent on this and that and what political consultants say about actually happens in campaigns. Is that unusual for a decision of the court?
It is unusual in recent years, and the court said, frankly, we've seen what happened since Buckley, we've seen that millions of dollars have gone into soft money, and we recognize that in the future our decision won't be the end of the debate. Organizations like America Coming Together, which raised millions from George Soros, may arise as a shadow alternative to the political parties. But the court, far from believing that it had the last word on this debate, was willing to allow Congress to experiment pragmatically in light of these facts, and that was an encouraging development.
Now, what do you make of this, of the court saying, we understand we don't have the last word on this, more to come on the subject of campaign finance? It doesn't have that finality of a Supreme Court decision.
Well, what a welcome change. The idea of politics, the quintessential area where Congress should be free to regulate as broadly as possible, the idea that the justices would imagine for a minute that they would have the last word or could come up with some kind of final regulation is unpragmatic, to say the least. So this is a welcome apotheosis of humility from the Rehnquist Court, and it presages perhaps future humility to come.
Justice O'Connor, writing along with Justice Stevens, the opinion, this continues her remarkable role as the swing vote, the maker of interesting majorities, and rather pragmatic majorities.
Very pragmatic indeed, and that's the most interesting thing about this decision. O'Connor, the former state legislator, was willing to look at the actual flow of money, just as she did in the affirmative action case, where she understood what the strong pressure by universities to keep up the numbers of minorities and the pressure to lower academic standards. So here, she, instead of imposing a very rigid rule, such as money is speech or individuals or corporations, was far more practical, and that was a welcome development as well.
Jeffrey Rosen, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Professor Jeffrey Rosen of the George Washington University Law School, who is also legal affairs editor of The New Republic.